Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you gorgeous mothers. Would all you mothers stand up for me just one more time? Because I have a little something I would like to share about moms. Now, this may surprise you, but did you know that every single person in this room came from a mother? Nobody was hatched. There are no aliens in the room that I'm aware of. If you are, please raise your hand now. We'd like to escort you from the building. You know, there's something about moms. We either are a mom or we had a mother. And there's something I've noticed about moms, that when you're 6 years old, you think your mama knows everything. And when you're 11 years old, your mama doesn't know everything. And when you're 18 years old, your mama knows nothing. When you're 25 years old, maybe I should ask mom her opinion. When you're 45 years old, I don't think we should make a decision until we ask mom. And when we're 75 years old, you would give anything to be able to ask your mother. Thank you, moms, for all that you do. You can be seated. You know, there are some things in life that you just cannot trust. And one of those things is my husband in a house with Girl Scout cookies. Another one of those things is my 2-pound dog sitting on my lap with a 1-pound sandwich. It is 50% of her body weight, but if I turn my head for 2.2 seconds, she will snatch it off of my plate, put it on the floor, and fight me to the death so that she can eat the entire sandwich. Another thing I know that you cannot trust is, you see, Austin and Morgan, they got married in October. They're not pregnant. They're not having a baby, but they got a dog. So I have a grand puppy. And I bought these Stuart Weitzman's shoes, and all the girls in the room went, ooh. They're supposed to be like $150. I shop at Marshall's, and I got them on the clearance rack. I bought them for $30. But I treat them like they were $150. And my grandpuppy does not. She decides that shoes are two toys. So you cannot trust grandpuppies with shoes is something that I've learned recently. Well, there are some things in life that you can trust. You can trust that if Taylor Swift is going to break up with a boy, she's going to write a song and make $1 million. You can trust that if you're having a bad day, if you need a pick-me-up, you're going to go to Starbucks, pay $9.95 for a cup of coffee, and smile while you hand them your credit card. And you can also trust that I am going to go get me some pancakes with the Philly cheesecake from IHOP after this thing, because carbs do not count on Sunday, and I'm earning it right now. Well, you know, that's a lot of fun, but what are you supposed to trust in this world is kind of a big question, right? What are we supposed to trust in this world? Well, a great place to go for answers all the time is the Bible. So let's go immediately to Proverbs 3:5. And the answer to that question is there. It says, trust in the
Lord.
Do it real loud for me. Trust in the
Lord.
So we know what we're supposed to trust in. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All of it, every single bit. Well, that sounds simple enough, right? It sounds easy. So I'm supposed to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. So we're going to talk about trusting today, and we're going to talk about faith. I mean, you go to Faith Church, right? There's a neon sign on the side of the building. It says Faith Church, sign on the highway, Faith Church. We go to Faith Church. We believe in faith. And then somebody asks you, well, what is your faith? Well, I don't really know how to answer that question. I mean, what is faith? Or are you asking me if I'm Catholic or Christian or Presbyterian or Methodist, Lutheran, Jewish, confused, atheist? What is faith? Well, I was praying and studying, and, you know, that's always good for a pastor to do. And as I was praying and studying, God was putting on my heart to just trust him more. And he's been leading me to scriptures about trust, and he's been leading me to Bible study about trust. And then he just planted in my heart the simplest sentence. And he said, Nicole, faith in me is trust in me. Everybody say, faith
is trust.
And that's something that I said for the first time during a prayer time here at Faith Church. I was praying, and I said that, and there was someone in the congregation at that time, and she had recently walked through a really big faith project. You see, they had told her there was like the 7-centimeter tumor in her abdomen, and she was bleeding internally. They didn't know if she was going to live, and it was cancerous, and they couldn't make the bleeding stop. So doctors couldn't figure out what to do. They didn't know what was going on. She was praying, we prayed, and we were trusting God. Well, they finally decide they can do surgery. They go in there to do surgery, and they say, it's the strangest thing. Your tumor's necrotic. She's like, hello, I speak English, not medicalese. Can you translate for me, please? What is going on? And they said, oh, necrotic means your tumor is already dying by itself. So she says, Pastor Nicole, you know, I just walked through this big faith walk, and yet when you said faith is trust, something went off on the inside of me. It helped me to even get a better grasp on faith, because trust is so much more focused on him and so much less focused on me. Everybody say, faith in God, is trust in God. Well, let's go to the scripture and kind of lay a foundation for that real quick. Matthew 9:29. It says, according to your faith and and reliance on the power invested in me, be it done unto you. Now, these are in red in the Bible. These are Jesus' words. So the power invested in Jesus. There is a power in God. There is a power in Jesus that is put in you. It says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That doesn't mean that Jesus lives in you, or you cut your heart open, Jesus in your heart, that you're going to find a little Jesus in there or anything like that. That's weird. Everybody say, that's weird. No, Jesus lives inside of you in your spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so that power is on the inside of you. According to Ephesians 3:20, it says, now according to the power that works in us. So that faith, that trust is on the inside of you, and God has miracle working power on the inside of you. Let's go to Luke 18:42. Luke 18:42 says, and Jesus said to him, well, who's him? Well, there was a blind man. He needed his sight. He needed to be healed. How many of you have something in your body you need to be healed of today? So he says to this person who needs healing, so just receive this for yourself. He said, receive your sight, your faith, your
trust,
and confidence that spring from your faith in God has healed you. What? That says that faith and trust in God heals you. Well, how many of you know that is good news? If we can increase our trust, if we can ask God, if we can invite him into situations, he can do miracle working power on the inside of us, just like he did on that woman with the 7-centimeter tumor that started dying all by itself and puzzled the doctors. Let's go to one more scripture. Let's go to Luke 8:48. And he said, so this is Jesus again, talking to another woman who needs healing. He says, daughter, your faith, your confidence, your
trust
in me has made you well. Go enter into peace, untroubled, undisturbed well-being. How many of you could use some peace in your life? How many of you have given away enough pieces of your mind you're not sure you have much left? Right? We could all use a little more peace in God. Everybody say, faith in God,
faith in God
is trust in God.
Trust in God.
You know, there's things that try to get in the way, whether they're from the enemy, from our own thoughts, that try and get in the way of our ability to trust God. Sometimes we think, well, I don't know if God is able to handle this. I mean, this situation is so small, so minute. I certainly can't trouble the creator of the universe with it. Or this situation is so big, I don't possibly know how to go to God with it. Sometimes we judge God that he's not able. Well, Ephesians 3:20 says, if you can go ahead and put that up for me, now unto him who is able to do. Is God able? He's not only able, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. So he's not able to almost do it. He can't like pull it off by the sweat of his brow. No, he is able to do this thing so much bigger, so much huger, so much over, above, beyond, around, upside down. He can make the earth spin and make the moon spin and make them go around each other and make the whole thing go around the sun. And that's happening while he's not even thinking about it. God is so far beyond able to handle our situation. Another thing we think is, okay, Pastor Nicole, God might be able, but I don't know if God will do this for me. Will God do this for my situation? Well, I'm not going to answer that question. Let's go right to the word again. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall. How many of y'all use the word shall in your everyday language? No, we do not use the word shall. Thou shaltest come into my room. That's not even shall, that's shall. No, I don't think it's a word. I made it up. We use the word will. Right? Because that's like old English. So let's just put will right there in place of shall. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, is all some?
No.
Is all part?
No.
Is all?
Yes.
All is everything?
Yes.
All is all that and a bag of chips.
Yes.
I am so 1992 right there. All means your finances, all means your health, all means your relationship, all means the addiction, all means that spouse that you're looking for, all means your marriage, all means your friendship, all means your children, all means your future, all means your past, all means everything that is surrounding you. It says that our God will supply, not might, and not if you earned it. Because that's another thing that gets in our way, right, is we start thinking, oh, God would do this for me if I was good enough, but you know, I'm just not good enough. You don't know my past, Pastor Nicole. Oh, girl, let's go toe-to-toe with past, because I got a good one. I got a testimony. And you know what the cool thing is about a testimony? You can use everything you did in your past to step on the devil's head and say, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and everything you thought you could hold me back with, enemy, I'm just going to go ahead and kick you in the head with it. Because God says in Jeremiah 1:5 that he knew us before we were in our mother's womb. That means he knew what you were going to do. He knew how you were going to mess up. He knew you were going to do it 27 times. So it doesn't matter if it happened before you knew Jesus. It doesn't matter if you did it last month, last week, or on your way to church, you accidentally showed some of your fingers to somebody in another car in some road rage. And as you were driving into the church parking lot, they followed you. So you parked on the other side of the parking lot and prayed you did not enter the same door that they did. Why are so many of y'all laughing right now? Things just happen. Well, your past is your past, and God is not about your past. He trusts you more than you trust him. Speaking of that, I had a dog back in the day, and I don't know why this whole message has gone to the dogs. We had 5 Dobermans, and why anybody would have 5 Dobermans, I have no idea, because one of them makes a mess enough for everybody. But we had 5 Dobermans, and one of them was a rescue dog. And when we first got her, her eyes were crossed. And her ears are supposed to stand up like this, but hers did not. They held each other up. They were lazy. And if you cross your eyes for just a second, you can realize that the world that she lived in was different than everybody else's world. She couldn't see. When we got her, she was scared of dogs. She was scared of people. She was scared of everything. All you had to do was put her on the ground, and if someone walked in the room or another dog walked in the room, she immediately like squealed and wet all over the floor, all over the floor. Which begs the question, when we get puppies, why do we bar them in our kitchen where we make our sandwiches? This makes no sense. It took me 15 years to think about that, but I still do it with my grandpuppy. She eats my shoes. So we bar her in the kitchen, and she is scared of everything. Well, as she comes into her life wounded, no matter what happened when we got her, no matter her physical ailments, no matter what she was abused or how people treated her, as we started pouring love into her, as we started letting her know that she could trust us, kind of like you might be as you came as a wounded puppy in your relationship to Christ, as soon as God starts loving on you, the people of God, people of Faith Church start loving on you, it starts building you and building your confidence and building your trust and building your faith. And I'll tell you what, that little puppy with her crossed eyes and her floppy ears who was scared of everything, we were on a walk one day a couple years later, and this big dog came out of nowhere in the woods and took out after us, and I was just sure I was going to get bitten by this dog. He was huge. But you know who rose up? This little cross-eyed, cross-eared puppy. She got up and she took off after that dog, and she stopped that dog in her tracks. You know what? The one who couldn't trust anybody, she trusted us, and I trusted her, and she was the most loyal animal that we had out of any animal. And I'm saying that about you today. You might have been a little cross-eared, cross-eyed puppy, and guess what? You're trusting God and he's trusting you. You're trusting the people of God and they're trusting you. And you know what? You mess with one of us, you might as well mess with the whole trailer park. A relationship without trust is like a car without gas. You can stay in it all you want, but you're not going to get anywhere. God wants you to get something out of your relationship with him. Let's go to John 12. In John 12, it says, Jesus shouted to the crowd. Now, it doesn't say Jesus shouted all the time. And in our house, I don't shout at my kids all the time. You know, it's like, hey, good morning. What do you want for breakfast? Let's have some cereal. Can you get the milk? We talk. But if there's a ball rolling into the street and there's a car coming, I shout, stop, don't move. Or if somebody's going to grab a hot pot with boiling water, I say, stop, don't grab it. I shout the important things. Yeah. Well, Jesus shouts here, and Jesus shouts to the crowd. He says, if you trust me. And I think if Jesus is shouting it out at us, we might as well shout back at him. So shout right now, say, I trust you, Jesus. Jesus says, if you trust me, you're trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you're seeing the one You sent me. You come in a light to shine in the dark for this world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer be in the dark. You know, when you get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, which happens more and more often as you get older, congratulations, you bump into things. You stub your foot on your toe on the bed. You knock your shin on the nightstand. I have once walked into the doorframe into my bathroom. I'm not proud of it. It's one of those moments, even in the dark in the middle of the night, you look around to see if anybody saw you. When you're in the dark, even when you're somewhere familiar, you fumble around. God does not want you fumbling around in life. He wants you walking confidently, being able to see where you're going, being able to see where you're navigating. But the thing that turns the light switch of light on in our life is Jesus. It is God, and it is our trust in him. You know, there's stories about Jack and Jill. Well, this story is just about a guy named Jack. And he was going on a hike by himself. He was close to a cliff, and sure enough, he slips off the cliff, and as he's falling, he grabs a branch. He looks down, and it's about 1,000 feet straight down. And he starts screaming, "Help! Help! Help! Help!" 15 minutes, 30 minutes goes by. "Help!" He almost gives up. He says one more time, "Help!" And a voice answers him back. He says, "Jack, I'm here. I can see you." He says, "Who are you? Where are you? I don't see you." He says, "I'm God. I'm everywhere, Jack." He says, "God, oh, if you will get me out of this situation, I will be nice to my wife. I will clean up the house. I will go to church every Sunday. I will start reading my Bible. I will serve in the parking lot, Lord. I will tithe. I will do anything you ask of me." How many of y'all made promises to God in that heated moment? And God's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, slow down, Jack. We'll talk about that afterwards. I know all about these promises." And he says, "God, tell me anything I will do. Just get me out of the situation." And God says, "It's simple, Jack. All you have to do is let go." Jack looks down. It's 1,000 feet down. He thinks about it for about 2 or 3 minutes. His hands are getting really stiff. And he says, "Is anybody else up there?" You see, we have to trust God and the way he moves in our life. But we don't always like God's answer to the situation that we're in the moment. We want him to answer us a certain particular way. It's like, "Okay, God, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to need the rent money by the 28th. So on the 28th, I'm going to open my mailbox and you're going to send me a check and then I'm going to be able to pay my rent. Okay, here, God, here's the way the situation's going to go. I've got this lump and this bump and I'm going to pray and believe. I'm going to go to the doctor. And when I go there, he's going to say, 'What lump? What bump?'" And we play out the scenario in our mind the way it's supposed to go, leaning to our own understanding, according to Proverbs 3:5. But what happens is we go to the doctor, the bump is still there. We go to the 28th, we open the mailbox, and there's no check. Why? Because that's the way we thought it was going to happen when we thought it was going to happen. The news is that God is never, ever late, but he is certainly never early. And do you know why God doesn't do it the way we thought and how we thought and when we thought? Because trust and faith do not even begin until our resources end. Everybody say, "I trust you, God." Now, I need the help of a couple of people. This little girl in the front row right here in this little dress. No, the little bitty one. This little girl. Would she mind coming up? And I need a guy who's probably like 6'4", 200, 220 pounds. I need somebody big. Is there anybody big in here? Come on, come on, y'all. There's somebody bigger than me. I'm 6'3 with these shoes on. There is one man in this building bigger than me, I swear. Come on. Come on, y'all, it's Mother's Day. Somebody's got to show off. Somebody's pointing. Y'all are pointing. Come on up here in the plaid shirt. He's just shy. Y'all give him a hand for coming on up here. I knew there had to be one man in this building bigger than me. That's one of the things people always tell me. They tell me, "Hey, Pastor Nicole, you're bigger than you look on TV," and I never know how to take that. You see, we used to play a slumber party game, and you know, we'd stick our 2 fingers underneath a girl, and we'd all be around her. We'd say, "Light as a feather, stiff as a board, light as a feather, stiff as a board." And we'd think we could pick her up with 2 fingers, and we'd try to pick her up, and like, "Margo, you had too many cupcakes." And we'd play this other game called the trust game, and that was you'd pick a partner, and they would get behind you, and you had to trust that they would catch you. So you would just fall backwards, and they would catch you. But the game was the person behind you would catch you as low as they could, so to try and make you step back. And if you took a step while you were falling, you lost the game. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? So I'm going to play the trust game right now with, what's your name? Ella. You're gorgeous, Ella. You look good. And?
Leon.
Leon, you're gorgeous, too. You're welcome. So if you have to pick who I should trust to fall on right now, that they will catch me without hurting me or them. Who do you pick? Leon? You pick the guy in the plaid shirt. Better choice than Ella? Now, Ella's probably good at very many things, right? But you think I'm going to squash her when I fall on her. Right. Do you think Ella could catch me without hurting me or her? You think, too risky. Too risky. So you don't think she's able. But you think Leon's able. Why? Big? Strong? Able? Okay. You know, when we don't bother to take our problems to God, we don't even try it, it's because we don't think he's able. Now, how does that, you think that make God feel when we go and we don't even take our problems to him because we judge him unable, too small, too dainty, unable, unavailable? But then we trust our eyes and we go to somebody big and strong who we think can handle it. And then that goes us to the Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. I'm leaning on my own understanding right now because I'm with you guys. I think Ella is beautiful and gorgeous and capable of doing many things, but probably not catching a woman who weighs, I'm not going to tell y'all what I weigh. But I think Leon can handle it because I can see with my own eyes that he can handle it. Well, that's how we handle most of the things in our life, except for when we lean to our own understanding. Would you put that, take your glasses off and put that on for me, Leon? Sure thing. When we lean to our own understanding, we are leaning to something that is blind in this world. So if I go right now and I'm like, okay, but it's my own understanding. I know he's big enough. Okay, hey, Leon, could you get with the picture, brother? I mean, come on, help a girl out. I just need you to catch me. Perfect. This is us going through life with our own understanding. We judge that God is not able. We leaned on our own blind understanding. And really what God is doing is God is sitting on the front row, on the sidelines, watching everything that is happening, waiting for us to trust him and invite him and ask him to come into the situation. Chris, would you be God for me? He's sitting on the front row minding his own business, not letting any of this stuff bother him. Miss Ella, would you come stand by Leon? Leon, you're welcome to take that blindfold off. God is sitting close by, watching, waiting to be invited. And when we trust God, we don't have to brief God on what's going on. God knows what's going on, and all we have to do is trust him, and he will catch us when we fall. But if we don't invite him in, he's not able to make the catch. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We think God is like man, so we trust God like man. God is not man. God is God. God doesn't want us to trust him like he's a man. God wants us to trust him like he is God. And he doesn't always answer the way we think he's going to. You know, there's this farmer and there's this flood coming. And as the flood's coming up, it comes up to his front porch and he's praying, I trust you, God. Handle the situation. I trust you, God. Handle the situation. And a boat comes up to the front porch. And the guy says, jump in, I'll save you. And he says, no, I'm trusting God is going to handle this situation. The boat takes off. Flood waters keep rising. He goes up to the second floor of the house and a boat comes up to the second story bedroom window. Says, hey, man, jump into the boat. I'll save you. And he says, no, I'm trusting God that he is going to handle this situation. He says, all right. Farmer keeps praying, God, handle the situation, and heads up to the roof because the water's now going up to the roof. And a helicopter comes, drops a ladder, and says, climb up, buddy, I can save you. And he says, no, I am trusting God that he's going to handle the situation. Helicopter pilot shakes his head and flies off. Well, the waters rise, and the farmer drowns, and he goes up to heaven, and God says, what are you doing here? He said, God, I don't understand. I was praying and trusting you to handle this situation. And God said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. We're trusting God to handle the situation, but we're trying to qualify it so that he has to handle it this way because we're leaning to our own understanding, not trusting him with all of our heart, with all of our ways. So how do we trust? Well, the first step in that can be illustrated in the end of James 4:2. In the end of that scripture, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. God wants us to ask him. Let's go to Matthew 7, 7 and 8. It says, ask, and it will be given unto you. And so, okay, is God able? Yes. Will God? Ask, and it will be. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. God's wanting to give to each and every one of us. Well, that works for other people, but I don't know if that works for me. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, it says, for everyone. Are you an everyone? Yeah. So I didn't say like just the boys, just the girls, just the old, just the young. Only if you fit these qualifications. Only if you haven't sinned in the last 72 hours. No, everyone. Are you an everyone? Yeah. For everyone who asks, receives. And seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. So it begs the question, are we asking and inviting God into these situations with us? That's why our morning prayer time, devotional time, getting in the chair, getting alone with God is so incredibly important. We tie his hands when we don't invite him in. When we step out and ask him to come into the situation, when we step out and invite God to have his way in our life, we are stepping out in trust, we are stepping out in faith, and we are loosing God's hands so that he can begin to move in our life. Matthew 7, 7 in the New Living Translation, it says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And to me, that doesn't really mean keep asking the same question over and over again. What it means is you ask this question, according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, we believe, we receive when we pray, but there's this time that goes by because trust and faith don't begin until our resources end, which may be way over here. But in the meantime, there's so many other things that we need to be asking God about every single day until that miracle comes, because he's working with people and he's moving things around from the very moment we begin asking and trusting in him. So we have to keep seeking, asking, knocking, and trusting him. And he's moving and he's going. But we rely on what we can see. Actually, would all y'all just stand up for me for like just 1 second? Just stand up if you're able. That is absolutely awesome. Now sit down. Hey, wait. Y'all acted like that wasn't a big deal. Nobody was like, okay, I need to sit down. Excuse me, I have to test my chair. I need to put it down, make sure it works, make sure it's strong enough, make sure it'll hold me. Oh, is it okay? Y'all didn't go, oh, let me test it. Oh, wait, okay, it's going to hold me good. Right about now, I'm glad I do squats. Nobody did that. Y'all just sat down as if it was no big deal. Why? Because you have trusted that a chair will hold you so many times, it suddenly became no big deal to sit down in a chair. You've trusted so much, it became a part of your knowing. It became a part of your knower. And that's what God wants to be in our life. He wants to be so trusted that we don't have to check with him and check with our prayer life and say, okay, well, I asked the 12 last things and God hasn't done those yet, so I'm not even going to invite him into this next one. Or I didn't get what I thought I wanted, so I'm not even going to, I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to ask God anymore. No, he wants us to trust him so much that we just know every time we pray, I know God's going to work on that. I know I'm trusting that God is moving on my behalf. I have faith that God is working in that situation. I can believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as we go into our very last scripture, as we go to close, trust in faith, what it is believing. And in Mark 9, 23, it says, if you can believe, all things are possible. All financial things, all health things, all relationship things, all addiction things, all things with your children, all trivial small things, all hurtful things, all past things, all future things, all things are possible to him who believes. And you've come too late to tell me that God doesn't do these kind of things, because I have prayed for so many people in that lobby and watched them come back and tell testimony stories that we show at the end of every single service about how God is moving in their life. I've opened up my own medical file where it said stage 4 cancer and no chemo, no radiation, no surgery, and 15 years later, I'm still healed and I am still whole. I've opened my own file and looked and said, hey, her own daddy didn't want her from before she was born. She was adopted. But guess what? My father wanted me, and he saw fit to use me. I've been that single mom at the grocery store who needed my calculator to buy some groceries to see how much I could leave with. And you know what? Today, I can buy $30 shoes at Marshall's, and I can buy my own Baskin-Robbins ice cream. I don't have to buy it at Aldi's. You have come too late to tell me that God does not want to move and do things in your life. He wants you to have the Baskin-Robbins ice cream. He wants you to buy the shoes. He wants you to live in health. He wants you to live in peace. God wants to open that door of favor, and he wants to bring in the flood of breakthrough. God wants to show you those things that he has for you, and he wants to heal your body. God wants those relationships restored, and he wants you to be whole with your children. God wants you to live in peace and joy and happiness, because he is a good God. Would someone give him a hand clap of praise? So as I close today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if I was speaking to you today and you know, I need to invite God into these situations, I have not been asking him, I have not been trusting him in certain situations, would you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Father God, in the name of Jesus, right now, God, we just repent. God, we're sorry. I know personally there's so many more things that I could invite you into. Every little thing, God, you want to be part of every tiny bit of our life. God, we loose you right now to move in our life. We trust you, God. We trust your timing. We trust your way. We trust your method. We trust who you are. Every good and perfect gift, it comes down from above. God, we loose your favor. We loose your breakthrough. We loose your love, we loose your mercy, we loose your grace in our life. And we thank you for it, God, and we believe with our whole hearts that you're just so good, and we know we can trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We will connect, families grow, lives change.